Good morning and welcome to the Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Month, Big Book Study, 7 a.m. Eastern Time. My name is Amy G. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Thursday, November 7, 2024. And today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the beginning paragraph of the chapter How It Works on page 58, starting with, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. All the way through that one paragraph to the end, have the capacity to be honest, unpacking that one paragraph only. Today's readers are, and thank you to Team Thursday for November, Crystal R., Anita L., Katie G., On the 12 Steps, Cheryl F., Traditions, Kathy C. Announcements, Nancy C. Newcomer greeter, Anne Marie M. And the host for the second awesome unrecorded hour, Roz G. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, November 6, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 21,893. That's 21,893. And for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 21,894. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Cheryl S. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Cheryl. Cheryl, press star 1 to unmute.
Cheryl S. Yes.
Oh, there Cheryl you are. S. Please go ahead.
Compulsive overeater. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
All good. Thank you, Cheryl. I will now ask for Kathy C. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Kathy.
Good morning, family. It's Kathy C., grateful, recovered, compulsive, a reader from New York.
12 Traditions, number 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group would never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do this service.
Thank you, Kathy. Okie dokie, let's see how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the beginning paragraph of the chapter How It Works on page 58, that first paragraph, and I'm going to ask Crystal R. to get us started. Can't wait, Crystal. Please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Crystal R., recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. How it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Hi, good morning. This is Crystal R. from Toronto. This paragraph just has so much hope to offer, and for me, what stood out to me was this part where it says, even if we suffer from grave emotional mental disorders, many of us do recover. I didn't actually realize that I was one of those people until very recently. I have lived with some really challenging mental disorders for over 20 years. I just didn't know that I did. I just thought that's how everybody kind of lives. And when I came into program 6 years ago, I wasn't in a place to get help for any of them. They made it really hard to be in my own head. But even then, even with those challenging mental disorders, I was able to work the steps anyway. And by working the steps, I was able to gain this relationship with God. The obsession was removed. I was transformed by these steps physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So even they did not stop me from receiving the gifts of this program. And the reason is because I thoroughly followed this path, thoroughly and honestly. And what that meant for me was I was always just a very, very stubborn kid. I think at least my parents always said I was just very stubborn. I would do something only if I wanted to do it. And if someone else told me to do the exact same thing, it was no. I would fight it to the tooth and nail. And when I came into program, I just dropped all my dukes, just dropped all of my weapons. I just started following instructions with no fight whatsoever. If I wasn't sure what people were saying to me, I would ask how, not why. And I just followed the instructions, whether it was related to working the steps or using the tools. I just did what I was told, and it really helped me. I also opened up my whole life to the steps. It wasn't just the food or just this relationship. It was any aspect of my life, whether it was my health, my jobs, my family, my marriage, my friendships, my home renovations, the dress that I was buying, just everything. There was no door of my life that was closed to the steps. And finally, I asked for help all the time, whenever I got stuck. And I got stuck many times working the steps. I got stuck many times feeling like, I don't know what they're asking of me. I don't know what the step, like, this doesn't make any sense to me. And if I think about it, there's no way I can do this. Like, it just won't work. It doesn't make any sense to me. And there have been multiple times where I got to that point of like, you know what, I don't think I can do this. And every single time I got to that point, instead of trying to figure it out myself, I asked for help. I said, look, I don't know how to do this. Can you help me? Did you ever have the same situation? And every time I was pulled back in to the program. And because of that, I got to recover. And because of that, I get to live today in this wonderful life where even those grave emotional and mental disorders, I'm getting help for them today. And today I get to live a wonderful life. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Crystal R., for getting us started. Okay, although we value everyone's experience, strength, and hope, if you have shared in the last couple of days, namely Tuesday or Wednesday of any of the Vision for You meetings, we ask that you please and allow others to share their experience, strength, and hope. So who would like to share on what was read?
Harlan G.
Lisa B.T. Nancy R. Lisa H. Nancy R. in New York. Blanca B. G.
H. Okay, hold on one sec. I got Harlan. I got Lisa B. T. I got Nancy R. Lisa H. Did I hear you, Lisa?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. All right, who else did I miss?
Blanca?
Was it Blanca?
Yes, Blanca B. G.
B. G. Yep. Okay.
Susie S.
Jane S.
Susie S.
Jessie.
Janet B. Sorry, Janet, you were there. I just didn't hear you. Okay. Anyone else?
Shandel S.
Shandel?
Yeah, Shandel.
Shandel. Shandel
S.
Okay. This is a great group. Arlen G., Lisa B. T., Nancy R., Lisa H., Blanca B., Susie S., Janet B., and Shandel S. Okay, Harlan, you're up. Please go ahead.
Amy, thank you for your service. In December of 1938, 5 months before the book was printed, the steps and the codified method of recovery had not been written yet. And at this point in life, in December of 1938, Bill had become very nocturnal. In the beginning, he would get up in the morning and go to Walnut Street in Newark, New Jersey, and in the offices of Honor Dealers, it was Hank Parkhurst and him and Ruth Hock, he would write the big book. By this time, he was writing in his home at night. And he knew that he had to codify the method of recovery. And within 20 minutes, he said that the pencil took on a life of its own. And within 20 minutes, he scribbled out Chapter 5. Now, this is one of the greatest pieces of spiritual literature inside one of the greatest pieces of spiritual literature that the world has ever seen. I am a believer that God wrote the book and that Bill just wrote it down. I believe that he was divinely inspired to write this book, but you're free to believe what you choose, and that's fine. They forced some changes on him, of course, and we're going to get to the steps, and we're going to get tomorrow to if you want what we have and you're willing to go to any length to get it. But let's just focus on the paragraph at hand. The word honest is in there twice, and honesty is in there once. And let's take a look at an urban myth. An urban myth is Bill really wanted to write, never have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. There's no indication that that is true at all. Bill knew the alcoholic mind, and if he wrote never, he knew that some yutz out somewhere in Akron would prove to him that he could get drunk by working the steps. So he wrote rarely, not never. But what is this word honest and honesty? Honest about what? Now, the obvious answer is everything, and that's a good answer. But what he's really driving at here is based on the doctor's opinion and the subsequent chapters, do you believe that you are a compulsive overeater? Have you accepted the fact that you are an alcoholic? He's going to come back to this point on page 60 in the ABCs. It's that important. And when the big book wants to teach me something, it repeats it because that's the purest form of instruction. It's spiraling the information. Honest about the fact that I am different bodily and mentally from other people. I am bodily different because I have a physical allergy, and I'm mentally different because of the twist of the mind. Given that, I am going to have to take these actions and endeavor on a lifetime of recovery that the journey has begun with the first word, but now we're going to codify the steps. And we're going to see that these steps, well, they're magical. No, they're not magical. They're very, very workable, though, and they're not that hard, and they will produce a spiritual awakening, which will put me, in a place of neutrality from food. Okay, Amy, I'm going to shut up with that. Thanks for your service.
Thank you so much, Harlan. All right, Lisa B.T., you're up, followed by Nancy R.
Hi, thank you so much. This is Lisa B.T. I'm calling near Toronto as a recovered compulsive overeater. And I say that word recovered today based really on my learning about this particular paragraph. I started out in 12-step food recovery. I'd never come across anything like it before. And the minute I found it, I thought, oh, these are my people. And I was part of a group. And one of the things we did in that particular group was read this paragraph at every meeting. At the end of the meeting. So I'm sort of going along and finding that I keep on, breaking my abstinence. And after a while, I begin to think, well, they're not going to let me keep coming. I mean, what group lets you keep coming when you, aren't abiding by, what the group is doing? And to my amazement, I kept being invited to come back. I remember even saying to somebody, maybe I shouldn't be coming. And they just said to me, well, you're welcome to come. And that amazed me. And then I kept on, going along, and I finally said to my sponsor, maybe I'm one of those poor unfortunates. Like, I don't know, something's wrong. And she said to me, well, look, I'm going to give you a couple of numbers. I'd like you just to call this person, that person, that person. And then there were other people that were, saying, yep, that was sort of my story. I could really identify in, and the lead chair today, that kind of thing for me about you know, my way, even if somebody, it was my way and somebody else wanted me to do it, I still wanted to do it my way. And so I guess just what I am really understanding and hearing in my own story, loud and clear, I've been in the program now many years, is that what really brought me in was the group, was the continued acceptance. I couldn't understand about God yet. Step two was still a big mystery to me. But what allowed me to continue when I would have fallen away easily years before was reading this paragraph and coming to understand it more and more deeply and to experience the love, that's the only word I could say, the love of what I believe this program offers as a WE program. And so I just want to offer my thanks to all that are on the line this morning and that all that I have come across over all these years. We all provide service in ways we may not even know. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa BT from Toronto, Canada. And I forgot to mention that Harlan G., Scottsdale, Arizona. Okay, Nancy R., you're up, followed by Lisa H. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, I am unmuted. I am Nancy R. in New York, and I am a compulsive overeater. I loved the lead share. I loved hearing Harlan, who I have all these notes written down, and I realize they are from him, the nocturnal, Bill being nocturnal, and all the wonderful things I heard Harlan say, which as he brings the big book to life for me, I see the promises. I see direction. Rarely have we seen a person who is thoroughly. I look up the word thoroughly, and it does say rigorously, in depth, exhaustively, from top to bottom, minutely, all the words that I feel I am utilizing in studying this beautiful textbook and listening to everybody on this line. I did think I was one of the rare people, and I've heard that I'm not alone in that as I studied with different sponsors. I did think I was not one of these people that could get it. I thought I was one of the rare ones, if I'm explaining it right. that would not get it. Next to, and I have all different colors of promise, of warnings, direction, but honest, I have it colored as warning, honest, honesty, and honest, the third reference, but honesty. In terms of the first honest, I wrote next to it, am I a compulsive overeater? And by the end, when it has, but many of them do recover, I see that as a promise. If they have the capacity to be honest, I wrote, I am a compulsive overeater. But it has taken me a lifetime. Was that it? Time? I don't know. But it's taken a lifetime to be.
Good to go.
Oh, you? I'm good to go. Well, that's great to go. I'm going. I have a minute to go.
Right.
That's the minute. That's all I need. A minute to transform into the spirituality and connection that I'm getting from this paragraph of how it works. I am rigorously continuing with all of your help, with God's help, to know that I am always, I wake up an addict and I have the chance to recover if I am completely honest. I am a compulsive overeater. I'm grateful that I see that I am one of these people that can recover. I am recovering. I am a recovered compulsive overeater today, this moment, not cured. And I am deeply grateful. I have will circled, I have not circled, I have all these lovely colors because I had a sponsor a few years ago who told me to put colors to the direction, warning, promises, and prayers. And yes, I'm grateful that I can even read it with all these colors, but I do see these beautiful promises and the promise of getting easier to share on this line with all of you. Thank you for the time. Thank you for your time and your service. God bless us all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy R. from New York. Okay, Lisa H., you're up, followed by Blanca BG. Go ahead, Lisa.
Good morning, Amy. Thanks for your service this morning. This is Lisa H., gratefully recovered in Memphis, Tennessee. And, of course, I'm drawn to several words, but the word incapable is used twice. You know, that incapable being unable to, whatever that unable to carry out, whatever I'm trying to carry out. And in this case, being honest. And when I was in the food and in my disease, I was incapable of being honest, not only with other people, but incapable of being honest with myself. I remember thinking, you know, if nobody sees me eat it, it doesn't really count, right? And that is the paramount of dishonesty to myself. But with the help of Overeaters Anonymous, the 12 steps, and my precious God, I have been able to give myself to this program completely. Now, certainly it didn't, I couldn't really dive in and give myself to it completely until I got out of the food and got abstinent with those foods, ingredients, and behaviors. I remember being drawn, you know, I guess in retrospect, I always thought that I was an honest person. But my honesty was really manipulation when I was in my disease. Because I just wanted to get what I wanted when I wanted it, you know, regardless of what my family might want or someone else might want. So in giving myself completely to this program, in diving into the steps with the best of my ability, I remember when I made amends to my husband, I said to him, I'm not going to do this perfectly, but I'm going to do it with as much rigorous honesty as I can. And I try to take that in to my everyday, right? If I'm as rigorously honest in my daily life, I don't have to worry about, you know, what I said, what I did. But between, you know, God knows, right? God knows if I'm honest or not. And the beauty is, right, today I have a 24-hour reprieve. The obsession with the food and that has been lifted. So that's not the issue anymore, but what goes on between my ears becomes the issue. And am I being honest with myself so that I can be honest with the world in a way that I can carry this into all my affairs? So grateful, so grateful to be here, and I'll pass with that.
Great. Thank you, Lisa H. from Memphis, Tennessee. Okay, Blanca BG, followed by Susie S. Go ahead, Blanca.
Hello. Hello, good morning. This is Blanca BG. Good morning. Thank you, Monitor, for taking the meeting. Good morning, brothers and sisters in program. Wow. Honesty. I have to compel to speak this morning because honesty screams at me in this paragraph and always did from the very beginning, from the first time I stepped into my first meeting, and I heard and knew that honesty was going to be required of me. And I just thought to myself, that's impossible. I have lived my entire life shrouded in lies and deceit. I'm an addict. It started when I was very young. I'm not making excuses, but I know when it started. I couldn't be honest in the environment I grew up in. If I dared be honest, I'd suffer the consequences. You know, I never could admit to how I really felt. Never, because the adults around me would made it very clear I wasn't to be honest. It's impossible. You don't be honest to the outside world. Don't tell them what goes on in this house. Don't trust people. And that continued on into adulthood. I was dishonest to friends. They couldn't know what was going on in my home when I was little. I lied. I didn't say anything. Then as I grew older, to teachers, I couldn't tell them what was really going on with me. I just made straight A's and played the part. Of course. I lied continually through friendships, relationships. And very sadly to my, even in my marriage, I lied. That's all I knew because I was sure the consequences I would suffer would be grave. No one could know the real me. Are you kidding? That would be impossible. They would leave me. They would hate me. They would abuse me. When I was little, they would hit me. No. So needless to say, honesty, rigorous honesty, was something I had to start all the way back with my first sponsors, who said to me, Blanca, you don't have to do that anymore. You're not going to be slapped across the face if you say the truth. You're not going to be abused if you really tell them how you feel and not to hurt you anymore and stand up for yourself. So it took a while, brothers and sisters. It is still a challenge. It doesn't come easy. But I continue. They kept saying, keep on coming back. Keep on coming back no matter what. And I held on to that. That was my mantra. And I'm still here and getting better. And we'll never stop coming back, never. Because I want that happy road of destiny, you know? I want
that's
that. Time. Thank you. And on that, I'll pass.
Blanca, where are you at? Can I get your state, please? Blanca, so we can find you on the contact list?
I'm sorry, I'm in Central Florida.
Central Florida. Okay. Okie dokie. Thank you, Blanca. Susie S., you're up. Followed by Janet B. Go ahead, Susie.
Good morning. This is Susie S. Am I heard?
I can hear you.
Oh, good. Okay, my heart is pounding because I'm going to wing it today. I'm a person that likes to normally prepare my thoughts, but I'm not prepared. I'm holding a brand new big book. My old book is put aside to begin anew. So I'm starting a new book with a new sponsor. And my first instruction, which has been pretty powerful for me already, is to say the set-aside prayer before I begin any reading, before I begin talking with anybody. That's been pretty powerful for me. I think that this matter of honesty, sometimes I don't know when I'm not being honest. And so I think in the last 3 years, it's been almost 3 years, in May it will be 3 years, I have, you know, thought of sponsors in certain ways, thought of myself in certain ways, and it's blocked me from the truth. And so I'm constantly, you know, more is being revealed to me. And I'm just following instructions. I'm doing what I'm told. And I'm hoping that if I say that set-aside prayer, that more will be revealed to me and that I will be living more this way of life. And I feel pretty good about this total surrender. And I think that's all I'm going to say for now because I've lost my train of thought. And thank you for letting me share, and thank you for this meeting being here for me, for all of us. Thank
Great.
You. And I pass. Bye.
Thank you, Susie. Where are you from?
I'm from Nebraska.
Nebraska. All right. That's
Susie from Nebraska.
Susie S. from Nebraska. Thank you. Janet B., you're up.
I'm hi. This is
Janet, hold on one sec. Just a friendly reminder. I just wanted to let folks know that we are on page 58, the beginning chapter, chapter 5 of How It Works, going through that first paragraph. Okay, Janet, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. Actually, this is Jen B. from New Jersey.
Jen B. Okay, got it.
Thank you. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I returned to OA this past April after being out in and out of the rooms for over 3 years with no real recovery. I couldn't string together a week of abstinence. And I left for a year to do more controlled eating. And when I came back, I was so done. I was so done trying to do things my way. Done with pretending to be perfectly recovered in between my binges, and done with trying to use this program to stick to an extreme diet. I'm now recovered and abstinent through the grace of God. And there are things that I was willing to be abstinent about this time that I was not willing to be, honest about last time. You know, I have no doubt in my mind now that I'm a real compulsive overeater. I tried so hard before to qualify myself out, to lie to myself that I was just a hard eater, and that if I got some abstinence under my belt, I would kind of be cured. I would be able to enjoy, forget the word enjoy, indulge. I didn't know what enjoy was. I would inhale and black out. But I thought I could eat things that I shouldn't eat if I was abstinent for long enough. I was finally honest with my sponsor and fellows this time around when I broke my abstinence. Before, I had a couple of sponsors tell me that when I would tell them in the beginning that I was, that I would pick up, they would tell me, well, I'm going to have to let you go. And I was terrified to lose my sponsor. I was treating them like a higher power, but I was terrified so I wouldn't be honest when I picked up. And this time I am. I'm not going to sit and pretend that I'm perfect and I never mess up. And because I'm honest now, I get the help that I need so that I can get abstinent again and stay abstinent. And I know now through my vision sponsor that isn't what we do to help others. We don't tell them, I can't work with you because you're picking up food. That's the whole point of being a sponsor, is to help people to stop picking up food. I was terrified to lose previous sponsors, but now I'm not, because now I can get help if I do pick up. I'm also honest, brutally honest, when I'm not doing well emotionally. I have this thing where I don't like to show my vulnerability. Growing up, feelings were scary for the adults around me. I wasn't allowed to have them. I'm okay. My sponsor called me out on that. I didn't want to bother people with my problems. I didn't want to make you uncomfortable with my problems. But now, honestly, when I have problems now that I'm spiritually recovered, it takes a lot to really rattle me. But when I am having a hard time, I'm honest that I'm struggling. Instead of saying I'm fine and shoving it down and then later shoving it down with food, I pick up the phone, I do a 10-step, I call other fellows, and tell them basically about my part in my own anger, resentments, and fears instead of being dishonest and blaming everybody else for whatever I'm feeling. I wasn't willing to do that. And thank you. With that all passed, thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much, Jan B. from New Jersey. Okay, we have Shondell, I think, S., and then we will take more names. Shondell S., you're up.
Okay, hi. Thanks. I'm Shandel S. from New York, recovered compulsive overeater, and thanks for all the shares and for this meeting. I'm very grateful. So for many years, I've been in program for 29 years now, and for 26 years, I was on and off being abstinent, losing the weight, gaining the weight, a lot of weight, and just doing the first three steps over and over again. And I just really felt that I was constitutionally incapable of being honest. I don't know what was wrong with me. But I'm very grateful for this meeting and how it brought the big book to life and then working through the steps. And I always knew I had to be abstinent, but then my feelings would get just like too much and I would just feel eventually that I have to eat. And I felt that, if I believe in God and I'm connected to God, then like things should just be okay. Everything should go the way I think it should. And that was the honesty part that I had to get to, was that I had to surrender that I'm not running the show, that God was either all or he was nothing. And that was the turning point in my recovery, is that I just surrendered everything. And another thing that I've learned is that my food has to be perfect, but I'm a human being, and I'm allowed to have feelings, and it's okay if I have my feelings, but it's what I do with those feelings. And I know now that I work the steps, I call people, I work through my resentments through the 10th step, and I do, my 11th step at night, and I just keep connecting to my higher power throughout the day as much as I can. And some days are better, and some days and that is good because I have feelings that I go through things, and that's okay. Just to love myself the way I am and just keep on working at it, keep working on the steps every day. And I'm just so grateful for where I'm at today, that I don't need, I do have food neutrality. And if I do feel that I'm not having food neutrality, most of the time I do have it. But if I do feel like I want to eat a little early, I know there's something going on, and I know that I have to work through something. So I'm super grateful for the steps that has transformed my life, my relationship with the people around me, and that I have a chance today to be the person that God meant me to be. And that's all I have. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Shondell S. from New York. Okay, so who else would like to share on what was read? We are on page 58, the beginning chapter of How It Works, going through the first paragraph.
Anita
Ginger
J.
Kathleen, how are you?
I think it was Lisa B. I've got Anita
Ginger.
J. Lisa. Ginger C.
Kathleen
W.
Kathleen.
Nancy C.
Hold on one sec. Kathleen who?
W.
I thought Kathleen W. That's what I thought. I didn't want to guess. Okay. Here's what I have. Anita J., Lisa B., Ginger C., Kathleen W. I think we could fit in a couple more.
Grassa
A.
Nancy C.
I got Nancy C. There we go. I know you kept trying to get in there. I think we're going to hold there. Nancy, hopefully we'll get to you. I'm not sure. Okie dokie. Anita J., you're up, followed by Lisa B. Go ahead, Anita, please.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is Anita J., living in the recovery in Massachusetts. You know, the first message I got as a child was, you can handle it. Oh, you can handle it. And so that didn't encourage any kind of dad, she leaves me alone. I don't know. I'm afraid. You can handle it. This didn't do much to increase my capacity to be honest. Because if I wanted to have a good time with my father, who I saw just on the weekends, I had to suck it up. Just suck it up. And one of the best ways was to shove it down with food. That I did, and it worked until it didn't. These are, the problem was because my mother, you know, was a mentally ill alcoholic and lived 13 years in a mental hospital where she actually didn't belong and then was released. I just was so afraid that I might have grave emotional and mental disorders. But now I see that because I got the wrong messages doesn't mean that I can't relearn. And that's what's happened. And one of the biggest things that have helped me was finding Overeaters Anonymous so many years ago, 1978. I think that it's just a miracle. God tried to show me that way, and I didn't get it totally. It's been a lifetime now since then of learning to be honest. And the capacity's growing, folks. I'm feeling good about it. And, yes, I feel when I go to bed at night, look at my review, that I am living the life God meant me to have. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Anita J. from Massachusetts. Lisa B., you're up, followed by Ginger C. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Lisa B. from Michigan. Can I be heard?
Absolutely.
I'm a Lisa B., recovered compulsive overeater. That paragraph has always spoke to me. From the very beginning, but it's different today than it was in the beginning. In the beginning, I was looking for a way to disqualify myself, and that paragraph gave it to me because it says, those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this program, and then constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. And I thought, oh, there it is. I can't do it. So I can't recover. So there's my excuse. And today I like the last sentence where it says we do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. And I always thought that I am honest, you know, and I may have been cash register honest, but I was not honest with myself, nor was I really honest with others. And God keeps showing me more and more things that, you know, I never realized before or wasn't willing to look at or whatever. And I can honestly face them today and share them with others and be honest about them. Recently, I was sharing with my sponsor, my brother died from his addiction last year. It wasn't from food, but regardless. And I had been expecting him to die for the last 10 years. And so when he died, I really didn't have any feelings about it. And I kept, you know, I didn't grieve. I kept pushing it away and pushing it away. And it's coming up on the anniversary of his death. And I started having thoughts about food again and kind of craving and things like that. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And then realized that's what it is. I'm finally grieving his death. And for me, usually that's a red light indicator that when I start thinking about the food again, okay, what's emotionally going on with you, you need to look at and be honest about. And that's what it is. So today I'm grieving my brother, who I loved dearly, but could not recover because he would not be honest with himself. That's all I have to share. Thank you for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. from Michigan. Sorry for your loss. All right. We have Ginger C. Please go ahead. And then it'll be Kathleen. Go ahead, Ginger.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for this meeting and to a vision for you. This is Ginger C., a real compulsive overeater. And a really powerful paragraph to join you guys this morning. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, this program of action that requires rigorous honesty. And it's sort of like God is everything or God is nothing, and what's your choice to be? And we've talked in the doctor's opinion about entire abstinence. And that's been my problem with this relapse that I'm still continuing in, is this entire abstinence with the food, because I still want to eat my cake and have it too in OA. And I start out really clean and clear. I'll put the food down and I'll get some days back, but then it gets sneaky and it works on me and it's slippery. It's that sauce that I eat with my steak that I dismiss thinking, oh, it's no big deal. And it's a huge deal because sugar's in that, and that's an ingredient that I cannot have. Or it's those boxes of rice almond crackers with some cheese on top. Well, that's okay. They're almond. You know, I buy my BS. I think that this is okay, and this is abstinent food. And I promise you, that's where my relapse began. Way before I ate the chocolate cake, it was all those ingredients that were coming in, that were guaranteed take me out, but I dismiss it because I'm an addict. Addicts lie, they cheat, and they steal. And the saddest thing is we steal from ourselves and this amazing life that God's given us. So I love that Bill does this. You know, Bill doesn't like to repeat words, and he uses honesty 3 times in one paragraph. Rigorous honesty. And I'll tell you, one of the worst feelings being on a vision for you, especially speaking a lot, sharing a lot, having had that neutrality and having that message, is when you are eating and you're not being honest about it. You know you're not abstinent, but you keep sharing and you keep lying. That was horrible. That was unbelievable. But thank God that God got me to my truth. I hope to get back. I'm still here today. I'm on this line this morning. A friend of mine always told me in AA, if they're alive and breathing and upright, there is always hope, and we do not give up on that person. And so I'm just so grateful again that I'm even sharing with you this morning, but sharing most importantly the truth. Doesn't the truth set you free? How is your food today? Where is your abstinence? Are those allergic components out of your system? Because I will promise you, if they come in any form, liquid or solid, they will take you out. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Where are you at again? I didn't say what state. Massachusetts, I'm guessing. Ginger?
I'm in Colorado.
Colorado. Okay, that's Ginger C from Colorado. Kathleen W., you are up, and then we might have a minute or two for Vasa. Sorry, Nancy. Not going to be able to get to you. All right, Kathleen, please go ahead.
Good morning, moderator. Thank you so much for your service, and good morning, family. So glad to be here on the line today. I really needed to hear this because I lied about something yesterday to myself and to two other people. And I'm up this morning in meditation and prayer, and the Lord is saying to me, you know, before you start this, you probably need to do, before I start the prayer and meditation, you need to make it right with how you were dishonest yesterday and with whom you were dishonest. And it's like, oh God, no, I justified myself all over the place with that. And now God is speaking to me. Yeah, you need to be honest about this. You know, this paragraph has always, when I read it, it just strikes terror into my heart because I have an idea that I am incapable of being rigorously honest. But I'll tell you something that has been, I could not be rigorously honest at the first because I didn't know enough to be that way. I was as honest as I could be as I walked through day by day this program, as I came to meetings, as I worked the steps with sponsors. It was a developing thing for me. I wasn't struck with rigorous honesty. Maybe other people are, but I wasn't. What I do know about this paragraph is that, yes, at times I have been incapable and I am on the spot sometimes incapable of being rigorously honest. But what helps me to become this way is my fellows. I need to stay in the fellowship. I need help to become rigorously honest. When I do a 10 step, you know, that person I'm doing that with, they are being truthful with me, and I am able to face myself and face the dishonesty and to become honest. Thank God for the fellowship. I can't leave this fellowship, as somebody said. I need to have it in order to stay honest and to stay clear. But I did hear at one time online, somebody said on this line, don't worry about the honest part and ask God for help and it will come. Because I would worry like, oh yeah, well, I'm incapable. There's no hope for me. But now I say, when I have that sense of not being capable, I say, God, please help me. Please help me to be honest. And I think for me, it has been a developing in levels of honesty, you know. And it's only through the fellowship and with the help of God that I can have any kind of honesty again. And I thank God for the honesty that I have had that has brought me further and further into recovery. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks. Kathleen, where are you from?
Oh, Illinois.
Illinois. Okay, Vasa O, you're up. Followed, looks like we've only got a minute and a half. So, Vasa O, can you please introduce yourself and go ahead?
Yes. It's Amy, right?
It is.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And good morning. I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I'm Vasa O, calling from Florida. Excuse me. Number one, honesty. To admit that I was powerless over the food addiction, that was number one. And that I could not control it any longer. And I tried for so long, so many years. And then, excuse me, I was almost like relieved to find out what the problem was. I didn't even know food addiction was addiction, and I didn't know anything about the allergy. I had no clue of it. I remember reading in Dear Abby years ago that she said there was a program for people that struggle with food addiction. It was called Overeaters Anonymous. But in those days, I wasn't obese. I probably still struggled with 10 or 15 pounds, and I couldn't really, of course, I was not at the meetings. I couldn't relate. But then, you know, my progress, it started getting progressive over the years. So by the time I found OA, are you kidding? I had my two arms up. Yes, I am one of you. I need the help. Please help me. Show me what you want me to do. And I love to hear how it works. It was almost like promises to me. Really, we think, really, we have seen a person who has failed. If they work thoroughly, if I follow the directions, the way they're laid in the book, like in the steps, and I will be able to recover. It started with me with the food addiction. And then my behavior, thank you. And then I got started getting honest in other areas of my life. Thank you very much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Vasa O from Florida. Nancy, hopefully we'll get you on the second hour. I'd like to thank everyone who shared. Thank you to Team Thursday for your service. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,896. That's 21896 for today, November 7th. We will now close the reading from the book.
Amy, before that, could you please tell me where Crystal is from in her last initial, her first person?
It was Crystal R, and I did not get where she was from.
Okay,
so maybe I can get that for you after the meeting. Okay. So let's see here. We're now going to read a vision for you on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. Anita L., could you please go ahead?
Yes. Good morning, everybody. Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.
Okay, the recording is going to be stopped any second now. And it was Crystal P. from Canada. Sorry, I can't read my own writing. Crystal P. from Canada.